All right. Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk a little bit about Winfield and Land O'Lakes and how we use agronomic data. And it's crucial to who we are in the marketplace. I need to thank my friends Bob Beck and Randy Brown. I hope nothing I say is going to surprise you. They're also my colleagues and my fellow recovering academics. I'm going to talk a little bit about Land O'Lakes and Winfield today. Winfield is a wholly owned subsidiary. I'm going to talk a little bit about our strategy and how we interact with growers using agronomic data, how we get that data, and then finally some of the tools. I won't have a chance to talk about the tools in detail, but we've got some inside delivery tools we're pretty proud of. And Land O'Lakes is a federated co-op. It started off in the early 20s as a way the growers could band together and market their milk more effectively. And it's grown to 10,000 employees, about $14 billion in annual sales. It's divided between three major business units. And most people know about the Land O'Lakes dairy products and have seen the Indian Princess, the Indian Maiden logo. And roughly each three of these business units are about the same in sales, somewhere between $4.5 and $5 billion annual sales. The Purina, we own Purina brands. Feed, everything except for dog and cat feed comes from us. That's a lot of specialty feeds and separate division, lifestyle and livestock. The other one I want to talk about today is Winfield that I'm a part of, and it's the crop input and service business of our cooperative system. So we are a wholly owned subsidiary of Land O'Lakes, and we have agricultural products and professional products with roughly 25 to 30% market share in each of the categories that we play in crop protection products. We own a soil testing lab in Indianapolis. We own Forage Genetics International. That's an alfalfa genetics supplier to many of the major companies around the world. And we own Geosys, a data imagery processing system and software developer in France. We have an equipment division. We are the largest purchaser or reseller of John Deere sprayers and Case International sprayers and some other equipment. We deal with bulk handling, and we basically are in that business to help our co-ops and our customers acquire their materials. Some of our proprietary brands you might have heard of is Ascend plant growth regulator, our Maxin proprietary corn sorb technology, formulation of micronutrients, and Interlock, Masterlock is another common adjuvant that we sell. In seed, we have our own brand, the Cropland brand, and we also have Forage Genetics International, and we're also the largest seller of these other brands, Mycogen from Dow AgroSciences, we just heard of, DeKalb and Asgrow from Monsanto, and Northrop King from Syngenta. So we have another set of partners in the crop protection business. We make our own proprietary products, but we also resell products from these companies. So get down to how do we interact with growers? We have been functioning using the R7 strategy. We call it the way we interact and deal with growers. We believe that if you're doing the grower the right favor, you need to have this discussion about the genetics, the soil type, plant population and cropping center system with the right traits, fed the right plant nutrition, and protected by the right crop protection products. Now, the key to this is that if an agronomist has not had a complete systems discussion that include these points, then your job is not done in your interaction with that grower. That's easy to say, but you need to have data behind these different kinds of points. In order to have this conversation, we need to have agronomically sound data so we can make a solid recommendation. So how do we get that data? Well, we do conduct our own field research. We've got a farm at, I was thinking earlier, we had a lot about cooperative work with universities. We work with the University of Minnesota at Rosemount, and we rent a fair amount of space at the University of Wisconsin River Falls farm. We work a lot there. We also work with a number of universities in doing contract research, and we have protocols, and we're doing a lot of screening materials and things like that. So we do a lot of university trials that we support. But I want to talk today about our answer plot locations. That's our biggest dollar investment. It's about half of our R&D budget. It goes to answer plots, and we have about 200 locations. I don't know if you've been to an answer plot field day, but we are known for these answer plots, and they're highly visible, usually along a highway, and the front 3 or 4 acres are a kind of a demonstration and training ground. They're made up with different plots demonstrating new technologies and management practices, but the front part of every answer plot is really designed for customer interaction and training of our sales staff. What most people don't know is that behind every answer plot location is about 12 to 15 acres of small plot research. And we do a lot of screening of the newest genotypes. You know, genotypes in corn and soybean are beginning to turn over at the averages are less than 2 years now. And so we need to do an awful lot of research to keep up to date on how the new genotypes respond to management. We also, this afford us an opportunity to quickly evaluate new technologies and innovations that come to the marketplace. We can screen something in 200 locations in a lot of different environments very quickly and get that information turned into knowledge that we can convey on to our growers. Recent focus has been on data quality. When I joined the company about 5 years ago, we had a lot of data, but it wasn't great quality. We put an extreme emphasis on improving data quality, and I think to my academic colleagues, you would be envious of the data quality. Our LSDs on a lot of our multi-location trials are under 2 bushel per acre for corn. It's just tremendous. The main thing is that we started to pay a bonus to the crews to get them to throw out bad data. You know, if you make a mistake, tell us not to use it, and it improves the data quality for everybody. So we have focused on data quality, and we're really quite proud of what we're generating. So at every answer plot, we screen new hybrids. I'll just talk about corn for a minute. We compare all the new hybrids from all those companies that we sell, plus Pioneer as a check, and we compare them in some split block designs. We have continuous corn versus corn after soybean. We also have a block split where on high nitrogen versus a nitrogen-stressed environment. So we have a bunch of two-level factorials that we do at every answer plot. Basically, we're just trying to screen the hybrids and sort them out into high, medium, and low. We're not trying to determine the exact rate to use. We're just trying to get a handle on, is this a hybrid that's high, medium, or low in terms of its response to continuous corn? Within those blocks, then, we also have high versus low population. And for most of the Corn Belt, it's 30,000 and 38,000 plants per acre. We also are developing a response to fungicide score. So we treat one half of the plots with fungicide and one without. And that's been a little more difficult to get than some of the other scores just because of the eccentricities of understanding a response to a late season health treatment. But as I said, this network of plots allows us to test new innovations very quickly. And in 2013, for example, we wanted to test, is insecticide, planting time insecticide, useful even when you have traited corn with corn rootworm resistant? We were able to test that at 200 locations and very quickly learned, yes, there's good examples of where we have response to soil-applied insecticide even when you're planting traited corn, and we can essentially map where that's likely to occur. So just an example of how we can move things out and test them in the marketplace very quickly. We also have some research laboratories at River Falls, Wisconsin, and Greeley, Colorado. And since the meetings are in the Twin Cities next year, I don't know if people have been to see our River Falls lab. We have a unique function there. We have a wind tunnel that we can do spray analysis of actual active ingredients. Now, we funded some other wind tunnels where we can test spray analysis with not using active ingredients. But here at River Falls, we've got scrubber technology so that we can actually apply blends of active ingredients and tank mixes and understand what's happening to the droplet size under various pressures and nozzles. It's quite impressive, and we're turning out a lot of good data that we hope will help growers, again, when they go to control pests in their own applications. We also do a lot of tissue sampling. We tissue test. We have a phone app that when you collect the sample and send in the tissue sample, and then we can get results back relatively quickly. And we collect all these data, and they are showing back up in the R7 tool that I'll now talk about. So we have tissue samples, tissue tests for most of our major crops, and we're continuing to expand that and understand our need of in-season nutrient status. I don't have time to go into the R7 tool, but I encourage if you know somebody from Winfield or if you'd like to have contact of your local person, we'd love to show it to you. It's available on the web as well as on an app, and we are working on a student version of the R7 tool. Should be available sometime in 2015, and we're going to come out with a grower version shortly too. The R7 is, like I said, an online tool. It has in it the USDA soil survey. It has a bare soil map, which is enhanced. We call it a soil variability map. It has several stages of basically NDVI. It's a processed NDVI image. We call it a yield potential map. But the tool finds you the recent 2 wet years and 2 dry years and shows you what your field will look like. And it's basically a biomass indicator. It's great for starting a conversation with a grower. If they don't have precision farming technology or utilize this, this is a way to engage the grower in variability in your field. It also has the ability to look at the answer plot data, pull out product comparisons. And as you begin making a plan for the following year, there's a lot of product information, including pictures of the products and the scores and everything, all included in one tool. Again, available as an app or online. More recently, we've been concentrating on delivering in-season imagery through that tool. So growers can sign up. There is a charge, but they can sign up for a periodic image of their field from the satellite, and that's proven quite popular. So real quickly, we have logged about 17 million acres into the tool since we launched it in 2011. And last year we had about 800,000 acres of in-season imagery that we delivered to growers. That was periodic maps throughout the year that ideally it helps improve the efficiency of scouting. If there's a problem in that field, we can detect differences through the in-season image, and then we can actually download that to Google Earth and use the iPad and go out and see what's going on. So I raced through this because I did want to leave a little chance for questions. But anyway, this is Winfield, the kind of the agronomic data machine that we've been working on. We collect a lot of data. It's expensive. And now a lot of our challenge is to make sure that these data get to the farmer and to the farm gate and are utilized. So.
All right, we do have a minute or two if there's questions. Is the farmer charged for this, or is it part of what they get with doing business with you, or how does the money flow here?
There is a charge if you want the in-season imagery. Access to the R7 tool is not is part of doing business with the cooperative system and the ag retailers that we work with. We're looking to enhance that all the time, and we're considering new functions. But no, the R7 tool and the access is available, no charge. Yeah.
So you said that there's a grower version coming out?
A lot of the same layers. What we won't let the grower do is write their own prescription. I didn't mention you can write prescriptions for variable rate seeding and other kinds of application from within the tool. We don't let the grower do that themselves. A lot of times our co-op or retailer will have a charge involved in prescriptions, but it'll be accessing most of the layers that you saw here. And it's a great conversation starter with the grower. What have you done to manage the variability in your field, and what would you like to try next? So.